Well, my dear friends, it's wonderful to be gathered in God's house again. It's just an amazing thing, isn't it, that we get to be in the presence of God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the one who died to save us and who is waiting in heaven to bring us to be with him. So much going on in the world today, isn't there? I mean, it's like if you watch the news regularly, I'll be able to tell because you're going to be depressed. You know, you're going to walk around like you're defeated all the time and stuff. And what we got to remember here, folks, is that we are living in a world that was created by God, a world that is burdened in sin. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But our hope is not in this world. Yet that this world, that God walks with us and he helps us and he saves. But we want to remember the truth. And the truth is that there's a world to come. And that's the world we're living for. That's the world that gives us hope, and that we have faith, we know that we are going to be in that world one day because God's promise is certain, that he has rescued us, he has saved us, he has given us faith, and he has made it possible for us to be in heaven with him forever. So let's take some time, separate us from all the earthly struggles and stress and political stuff and relational issues and everything else that's going on. And let's turn our hearts and minds to the God who loves us, who rescued us, who saves us, and who wants to spend some time with us this morning. So let us begin, remembering the reason that we are in his kingdom, the way he has brought us into faith through our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us your children, that you have given us an eternal home, that you work through your Spirit and through the Word, Lord, to empower us, enable us to be your people in this world. Lord, that we have the confidence of knowing that even though we don't measure up in any way, Lord, that you have made us holy. You have made us perfect through the death of your Son and receiving his life. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us as your people. Give us the strength, give us the endurance, Lord, that we may continue to serve you every day. All these things we pray this morning in your holy name. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we've been forgiven. We are in the presence of the God who is in control of all things. Let's sing praises to that God.
month of July is My Jesus, I Love Thee. Isaiah 43:1 reads, "But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. God has wonderfully and fearfully made us. We are His."
My part. Good morning. My name is Steve Bangram, one of your elders serving you. Today's first scripture reading is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon scripture reading for today is Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion and darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." All right, kids, it's time to come forward. It's time for the children's message, so come on down. I love the Hawaiian shirts. Those are awesome. Good morning, kiddos. How are we doing today? Outstanding. Well, you ever bring your mom flowers?
Yeah.
Have you? Okay, what kind of flowers did you bring her? They might have ants. That is a thing that could happen. There's no doubt about it. All right. Have you ever brought your mom flowers that look like this?
No.
That would be weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's a dead stick.
It's a dead stick. So tell me, why do you think this stick is dead?
Because you broke it off.
Because is it attached to anything anymore?
No.
No. So Well, I don't understand. I thought the leaves would keep it alive.
No, they don't.
No, the leaves don't keep it. Well, they do. I mean, if you took all the leaves off, it'd probably die too, right? But it also needs to be connected to something, right? Like this plant over here. Do you like that plant better?
Yeah.
Why do you think, is that plant like a lot healthier?
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you know?
Because it has leaves.
It has leaves. Yeah, that kind of is a good sign. That's true. And why do you think that plant has leaves and this one doesn't?
Because that plant is attached to dirt.
This plant is attached to dirt? That is a very true thing. Yeah.
Plant will not live without dirt.
Yep. By far, the majority of plants on the world do not live very well without dirt, right? They got to be attached to something. And it's got to be more than just dirt. What other things do you have to put in there?
Water and sunlight.
Water in the pot and sunlight on top, and then you can have a healthy plant, right?
Yeah.
Somehow I managed to mess up that whole formula. I say I have a black thumb. I will kill anything. Yeah, it's just the way it is. So we don't have plants in our house because my wife and I, we kill them all the time. But the thing is what are we going to learn from that now? So if we want to be healthy like this plant and have our faith be healthy like this plant and not dead like this plant, what are we going to need to learn from this? Do we need to be planted in something?
Yeah.
Yeah, if we're disconnected, are we going to live? No.
If we're disconnected from faith, we die.
Oh, but wait, what is the faith in?
Jesus.
Oh, so what are we really getting connected to?
Jesus,
absolutely, because here's the thing. Are we strong enough to live all by ourselves?
No,
we're just not. Is the world really hard?
Yeah.
Does the world tear us down?
Yeah.
Does the world like try to tell us things that aren't true?
Yeah.
And if we're not connected to God and to his word and learn from him, are we going to be able to hang on to our faith?
Nope.
Are we going to have God's strength in the world? Are we going to be able to pray to him if we're not connected to him? No, not so much. So
don't do anything.
How do we stay connected to God?
Reading the Bible and going to church.
I think those are really important things. Read the Bible and go to church. Is that how God talks to us?
Yep.
And then how do we talk to God?
Pray.
We pray. Very good. And so God talks to us in his word and through church and stuff. And well, that's which is coming from God's word. And then we get to talk back to God. And does that keep us connected to him?
Yep.
Yeah. And what kind of stuff are we getting from God? Are we getting forgiveness?
And faith.
And faith. And strength.
And grace.
And does God lead us and guide us?
Yep.
Yep, he does a whole bunch of things. So what do we need to do more than anything? Stay connected to him, because he's the one that makes us live, right?
This is a dead
tree. A dead branch. That is correct. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for helping us live. Help us, Lord, to continue to grow in you and depend on you for strength. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. All right, kiddos, it is now time for a little worship. You guys know the deal, right? If it's okay with your parents, you can meet at the cross in the middle aisle. And the rest of us, let's open God's word right here and now. All right, my friends, Colossians. This is the very beginning of the book of Colossians, which is a really kind of fun place to start at the beginning. So let's talk about Colossians, just the church in Colossae real quick. First of all, the one thing that I want to tell you is that Paul didn't start this church. It's kind of an unusual thing in that, you know, most of the churches that Paul wrote letters to were churches that he actually started, whereas this one's a little bit different. This one was started by a different guy named Epaphras or something that, you know, he basically went in there and he taught the gospel. He taught what the message of saving faith, this message that depends on Jesus for our salvation, this message that tells us about how Jesus took our sin upon himself, paid the penalty, and made it possible for us to have that faith in him through the work of the Spirit, working through the Word, and all of that stuff comes together and to the people being saved. And as they heard that message, God did something. He radically changed the people. He radically changed their lives. He changed them from people who lived for themselves, people who were like focused on worldly things, into people who were converted into Christians, people who were focused on God, people who lived by God's grace, people who saw the world completely differently, because now we're seeing the world through God's eyes and we're seeing the world through God's grace, and we want to spread this message of salvation to more people. And Paul is a little distressed in this book. And the reason he's distressed is because Epaphras, the guy who started this church, was distressed. He started this church, and it was founded on the gospel. It was founded on grace. And now some people were coming and teaching something else. And to explain a little bit why that's such a big deal is, let's start with this. When I went to seminary, one of the first things that they taught us in our dogmatics classes is that, you know, how many religions are there in the world? A lot, right? I mean, if you want to go around the world and catalog all of the different religions and all of the different things that people believe throughout the entire world, there are a lot of religions. But that's kind of hard to get your head around, right? I mean, it's hard to, like, apprehend all of that. And so, you know what the guy who wrote the big theological work said? He goes, let's make this a little easier. Let's say this. How about we just say there's two religions? Okay, we're going to categorize things a little differently here. And there's two religions in the world. There's the religions of gospel, and there's religions of law. Okay? Now, what do we mean when we say the religions of law? Well, it's the religions that basically reduce your relationship with God down to things that you must do. In other words, it's like this. If you want to approach God, if you want to be able to talk to God, if you want to be able to pray to God for something, here's the list of things you must do in order to please God, get on his good side, and make it so that he will be favorably disposed toward your prayer. Okay? And how many different religions are based upon that? All of them but one. Yeah. I mean, you can look at all of the different religions. You look at Islam, and there's the five pillars of Islam. And those are all things you must do. You must pray five times a day. You must go visit Mecca. You must, you must, you must, you must. All of them are laws that make it so that their God would love you. And then there's, there's the Buddhist religion, which is basically all about doing the right things and meditating the right ways and approaching life and seeing life the right way. And if you do all of these things, then things are going to work out right for you, right? And we can get into like every single religion on earth, and all of them are either going to be based on law, which is all the things you must do. Now, how the laws are written and what they are going to be very different. You know, I mean, on some islands, you know, they sacrifice things, or there's all these different rules and laws, and that's where the variety exists. But all of them are, you have to do these things in order to get God to like you. And then there's Christianity. There's this religion that was started by Jesus, this religion that came about because of God's love and grace, where he comes to us, where he, out of his great love, rescued us, sends his Holy Spirit to convert us, to change us, and that all of the credit that we give for our salvation goes back to him. That Paul, in the very beginning of this letter, he is laying the groundwork for everything else he is going to say throughout the letter. And as he does so, you can just listen to all of the ways, just listen to who is getting credit, who is the actor on everything that Paul says. Just listen to this again. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Whose will? God's will. Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love spring from where? The hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world. And who's making it grow? The God of the gospel, right? Just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You heard it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also told us of your love in the Spirit. And for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask that who's going to work? God is going to fill you with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding that his Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you. So who qualified you? Did you qualify yourself? No, the Father qualified you to share in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Do you see the object of this whole thing? This entire text is all written about what God has done for them, how God has changed them, how God brings them wisdom, how God brings them strength and endurance, how God brings them the things that they're going to need in order to be Christians in this world. The focus, the attention is on God and his work. If it goes anyplace else, things go wrong. And that's exactly what was happening, is that people were coming into this church, into this brand new little Christian culture here, and they were telling them, listen, everything they told you is fine, except you need to do these things in addition to that in order to be saved. You need to do things like be circumcised. You need to do things like keep these special laws and these special rules. That there's a few things that you need to do in order to be saved, in addition to everything that Jesus did for you. And what is Paul telling them? No, that's not how it works. That it's incorrect, that if you start acting like, well, there's gospel and grace and Jesus' love and his forgiveness and his plan for saving you, and you need to do something else, that is absolutely wrong. There is nothing we add to grace. And in fact, in Galatians, God tells us through Paul, he says, if you add anything to grace, if you add any law, if you say you must, you know, receive faith or receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ, through faith, through his word, through the work of the Holy Spirit, if you add anything to that, you are no longer under grace, but you are completely under law. And now the only way to be saved is to obey all of it. You understand this? That God is telling us there is two religions. There's the religion of grace through Jesus, through his death and resurrection, and there's the religion of the law. And if we allow the law into our relationship with God in any way so that our acceptability to God is based on our behavior, we are no longer under grace at all, but we have now fallen under the law. See how radical that is? And why is Paul making it so very clear? Because this is a very easy thing for us to drift into. And we drift into it all the time. I mean, how many times have you guys sinned, done something really, really wrong? And a lot of times it's the sins that how can I say, we struggle with. You know what I mean? It's those things that we fall into, and then we fall into it again, and then we get so mad at ourselves, and we hate it, and then we fall into it again, and we just struggle so much. Or it's a sin that really hurts people. You know, sin that causes pain in the world. And for whatever reason, these sins really bother us. We feel very guilty. We start to think in terms of this is a really bad thing. And pretty soon when we focus on that sin, what we can easily do is slip into this guilty idea that because I did this, I'm no longer acceptable to God. You know what I'm saying? Can God really love me? And this is one of the devil's favorite tricks. Because if he can get you to look at your sin, who are you not looking at? If he can get you to trust in your goodness or lack of goodness, whose goodness are we no longer trusting in? I mean, the devil is trying to distract us. He does not have to make us into devil worshipers to make us go to hell. All he has to do is take our eyes off Jesus. And Paul is distraught as he's writing this book because he sees what's happening. He sees that people are starting to come in with teachings that add law to what makes us acceptable to God. And that is not acceptable because that will lead us away from saving faith. We will not then trust in our own works, you know, trust in a decision that I made, trust in an event that happened, rather than trusting in the promise of God. And trusting in the mercy of God, trusting in the death of Jesus, trusting in the promise of salvation and the promise of heaven. And so Paul just lays it out. He says this, it's all about him. So does that mean we do nothing good? That there's nothing that we need to do? After all, I mean, you know, God's law doesn't really matter, right? Because if we sin, are we forgiven? If we sin, are we going to go to heaven anyway? Well, absolutely, right? Because Jesus forgives us for all of our sins, and so sin is no longer the problem. And so, as Paul says, sin the more that grace may abound, right? If you sin more, there's just more forgiveness. It's all good. Is this correct? See, the thing is this. When the Holy Spirit works on us, when he converts us, when he makes us into his people, he changes us. He makes us into people who want to bring God glory. We want to live lives, as the words of the text, that are worthy of God. We want to live our life in a way that is going to bring God joy. You know, and you guys know what this is like, right? I mean, you guys have you know, people that you love, and when you do things that make that person happy, you feel great about it. I mean, it's just great. And when you can make people that you love happy, when you can please them, it's wonderful. And it's that same thing that we have with God, that when we know that God loves us and that he has given so much for us and that he means so much to us because of everything that he has done, and that we experience his help and his strength in our life, and we see how he has changed everything about our lives because of his strength in us and his wisdom, that we see things differently. Even if from the outside, it doesn't look like life has changed an awful lot, from the inside, we know that everything is different because we're no longer trusting in ourselves, we're trusting in him. We're no longer stuck in this way of thinking that we have to provide for ourselves, but we use well the things that he gives us, and we trust in him. That we know that relationships aren't all about getting what we want out of them, but being gracious and loving and forgiving and giving of ourselves to other people. And everything changes about our lives because of this faith that we have in God. And we love our Father because he has done all of this for us. And we want to do things that make him happy. And the next question is, well, then how? How do we go about making God happy? And that's the proper place for the law in our lives, where we can look at God's word and say, what is it that makes our God happy? What is it that he wants us to do? And we do those things, but we don't do them to make him love us. That's already been done. We do it because he already does love us. And so this is the work that God is doing in this book. And the world just constantly comes at us with things that make us question this, doesn't it? I mean, back in the Old Testament, or back in the New Testament days in Colossae, that's exactly what happened, is they had it right, and then somebody came in and started teaching things, right? And it can be such good things. It can be like, you know what's really helped people for a very long time is praying. Is that good? Yeah. So you know what we really should do is we really should pray regularly. And what would be a good idea is that we pray before we eat. Anybody do that? Excellent. So now you have to pray before you eat or else you're wrong. Wait a minute. What did I just do? I took a thing that was a good thing, right? And I took it from a thing that was a good thing that we do because we love God, and I made it into something that you have to do, right? And if we take it to the next step and say, and if you don't pray before you eat, God won't love you. Well, you see how this goes? Was prayer a good thing in the beginning? So how do we turn it into something bad? Well, because we let it get into a place it doesn't belong. It's an act, something that we do because we love God, right? And this is exactly what happens, is that we can so often have things that are good, have things that are healthy, have things that are beneficial, but if we allow them into the wrong place, if we allow them to become a law, if we allow them then to become conditional upon our acceptance before God, it becomes a bad thing. And do we have to be on guard against this all the time? You know? I mean, you ever talk to some giant in the faith and you hear things that they do in their lives and then you feel bad about yourself because I don't do those things, right? And you start thinking, well, maybe I'm not such a good Christian. Maybe my relationship with God isn't what it should be. Maybe God doesn't love me, and we start to spiral. How important is it for us to be on guard against this in our lives? How important is it for us to be on guard against this in other people's lives? Can you ever see somebody else doing this where all of a sudden you can see them spiraling? They start thinking they're not good people or God can't possibly love them because they didn't do this or they did do this or whatever. And what do we need to be doing when we see somebody who's struggling like that? Yeah, you know what? We need to speak the gospel to them. A lot of times I think in Christianity, we really are thinking in terms of speaking the gospel to people who are not saved. But what we have to understand is that the giving of the gospel is something that we do all the time to the people who are saved as well, because our minds tend to wander. Our minds they tend to go the wrong direction. And we as loving brothers and sisters in Christ, all trying to move in God's direction together, following God together, we need to be speaking the truth because of the love that God has placed in us for our brothers and sisters. Is this going to be easy all the time? Yeah, it gets easier, you know. It's a lot easier to do this than to do the whole, like, holding people accountable for sin. Trust me, that's a harder conversation to have. But the thing is this: how much do you love each other? Is it worth being uncomfortable? Is it worth it? Yeah, it's totally worth it. So my friends, as we go into this future, be on guard. Be on guard against the lies of the devil that try to get us away from Jesus, not that we would choose to leave him right away, but that we would just start looking at other things for what makes us acceptable to him and who we are. And let us help each other, that we can hold together, mutually encourage one another as we head into the future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, that you are such a great God, that you are the one who holds us together, the one who's brought us to faith, Lord, and the ones that holds us in the faith. I pray that you would continue, Lord, to send your Spirit to work in us, Lord, that we may continue to grow in the knowledge of you and the wisdom that your Spirit brings. Help us, Lord, to know, to be able to remember, Lord, that you are the God who saves us. And that it's not just the God who brings us into faith, Lord, but the God who keeps us in the faith until the day comes when you bring us all into glory together. Lord, help us, encourage us with the truth of this future we have in you. Thank you, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let us continue our worship service by collecting the offering. And as the offering is collected, let us sing together about these ancient words that our God has preserved for us so that we will know of his love and his salvation. Friends, let us stand as we confess our faith using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. This article is all about God the Father, what he has done for us as creator and preserver and provider of everything we need. Let's confess. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. All right, my friends, it is time for us to come before our Father and pray. And so as we do so, We want to be in prayer for Ethel Boudry and Sharon Wunderlich at the death of Chet, Ethel's husband and Sharon's father. He passed away just last Sunday, actually. And so we want to be praying for them. Also, we want to be praying for Fran Oswald, who had hip surgery this week. We want to be praying for the youth that are on the youth trip to the National Youth Gathering in Houston, Texas right now. And they'll be coming back this week. And we want to be praying for our church and the meeting that we're going to be having a bit later today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us your people, that you have brought us into your church, that you provide for us every good gift, Lord, and that you guide us through this life, that you have brought us into this relationship with you that brings us hope because we know the end of the story, that as crazy as this world is, that the next world, Lord, is going to be one without sin, where we will live in perfect unity with each other, Lord, and in complete, perfect relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us, Lord, to remember this truth so that we do not have to become overwhelmed or overly stressed or anxious about the things that happen in this world, knowing that the time will come when all of these things will be behind us. Thank you, Lord, for all of that. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with Ethel, Lord, and Sharon and that whole family, Lord, at the death of Chet. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give them strength, continue to draw them, Lord, into an ever closer relationship with you, Lord, as they depend on you for your peace during this time. I pray, Lord, for Fran Oswald, that she would continue to recover from this hip surgery, Lord, that everything would continue to go very well, and that she would soon be up and about and doing the things you've given her to do. Lord, I pray for the youth who are in Texas right now. Lord, I pray that they would be having a wonderful opportunity, Lord, to grow in faith in you and learn about your things, Lord, and how they apply to their lives. And I pray that they would continue to grow in relationship with each other, Lord, as they grow in relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with us as a congregation, Lord, as we meet later to discuss your business. I pray that you would give us wisdom and that you would help us, Lord, as we make decisions and move forward in ministry and faith. All these things we bring before you today. And we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And waiting
Thank you.
Now, my brothers and sisters, we have been blessed by God once again with the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ given to us to strengthen us and to hold us steadfast in his word and faith until the end when he takes us to be with him forever. Knowing that our God is faithful, that his promise is good, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song of praise together.
Glorious, God, you are.
My friends, have a seat really quick. Let's see here. First of all, during the family meeting, Lauren is going to be taking some kids, and so if you have any little ones that need to be watched during the meeting, she will take them. Let's see here. Volunteers are needed for the rummage sale. Contact Joni Doshley. There she is, right over there. Yes. She's very shy. Anyway, let's see here. Registration for youth a confirmation ministry, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, 6th graders for training in Holy Communion, and 7th and 8th graders for the confirmation process is now active on the website. So go to the website. It's under the members tab. Let's see here. And then, we definitely want to be keeping our high school kids in prayer as they are traveling across the country at this time, that God would bless them, that it would be a great experience, and that they'd all come back safely. Because we don't want any bad excitement. None of that. With that then, God's blessings on your week. And I do encourage you to stick around. Last week I mentioned that we were calling a pastor. I mean an additional pastor. Some people were asking, like, are you leaving? And I'm like, I hope not. It's not the plan. Please do stick around. I'm really grateful that we're to the point where we're talking about this, because it's been a long 7 years of being the only pastor here. So God's blessings on your week, and I hope to see you at the meeting.